At this point, we have a lot less data than, let's say, aromatase inhibitors in breast cancer or checkpoint inhibitors in a bunch of cancers where people kind of feel like they're equivalent. From your point of view, do you think it's going to shake out that, for example, these three drugs that maybe end up all approved at the same time, for example, from a tolerability point of view, at this point, can you separate them out?
It's pretty tough. I think a lot of us sort of get at a 50,000 foot level would say these are roughly similar molecules. There are some subtle differences. Rucaparib, it looks to me like the anemia is a little higher than the other two. And for niraparib, thrombocytopenia is definitely higher than the other two. But it's pretty subtle, and they're mostly those toxicities are manageable. The only other difference I know is olaparib had used a capsule formulation, which was really horrible. It was 8 to 16 capsules a day. Patients really had a problem with it. They're now onto a tablet form, which will be easier. But that's about it. The only PARP inhibitors that look like they're different is one on each end. The vilaparib looks like, on a biochemical level, to be an order of magnitude a weaker binder than the three we've been talking about. Whether that binding correlates with response, we don't quite know. But it is interesting. Vilaparib has been combined with chemo, and it looks like it's easier to combine with chemo than the other drugs. The other one that's out on the other end is in early drug development, but that drug is interesting that it has a thousandfold higher binding capacity than all of these drugs. And so, of course, you immediately ask the question, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Does that mean it's going to be that much more potent against the tumors, or are we going to see a lot more bone marrow toxicity? I don't know the answer. It's going through phase one now, entering into phase two.
Incidentally, if you can, are you going to use niraparib in platinum-resistant disease?
Well, I guess it depends on the indication.
Would you like to?
Given what we've seen already with the Kaufman study, which was what the FDA indication is for olaparib, they used the Kaufman data, then used study 19, which is the maintenance study, because study 19 showed PFS, no OS. The Kaufman data was a basket study, and they had about a 35% response rate in ovarian cancers, many of which were platinum resistant. So we know it's active, and I would have no problem using either rucaparib or niraparib in that setting.